Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do beers in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable. I'm your host, Cody Lindquist.
And I'm Charlie Todd. How's everybody doing tonight?
Come on, how's everyone doing tonight? This theater is so big. I feel like I just want to dance across the stage.
It's a big theater.
Feels great.
Cody and I, my mic is giving me some problems. Cody and I, we're a married couple. We love politics.
We
love beer. So we started this show so we could talk to other people that like politics and beer. This show, we have a great group of panelists today from a lot of late night shows.
And we're drunk.
We're drunk. We had two beers across the street at Treadwell Park.
And they were big beers. Treadwell Park, guys. They were some big-ass beers.
So we're starting our third beer, but that's the premise of this show. We get people a little tipsy, and we talk about politics.
Feeling loose. Not feeling wasted, but feeling loose, you know? It's how you deal with the political climate now.
Mm-hmm. Cody and I didn't sleep last night either. Our four-year-old was in the bed with us because
he's a nightmare child.
He woke up pissed off and kept us up.
Yeah, we're not a co-sleeping family, so
no,
this was
not
a fun time.
First co-sleeping experience ever last night. Don't recommend it.
We also have two white sons. I like to bring that up because this is a podcast as well, and people don't know that we're white, but we are.
This is a podcast. You can check tonight's episode out if you want to hear yourself laugh in the audience tomorrow or future episodes. And our next episode will be April 24th right here at 7:30 next month at UCB Theater Hell's Kitchen.
You know, go online, rate and review. Mm-hmm. Find us where you find your podcasts.
But right now, let's bring out our all-star panel. Coming up first, he is a writer and producer at The Daily Show. Please welcome Shubin Parikh.
She is the co-founder and co-editor-in-chief of Reductress.com, Beth Newell.
And finally, a producer and director at Showtime's Desus and Mero, please welcome Justin Tyler.
Guys, I love this panel, and you know what? We're all parents, so let's just talk about our kids.
Good. That's what the people came out for. Some light parenting.
Who's tired? Juman is a parent-to-be, so
we're counting a lot of chickens here. Yeah, let's all knock on wood here. We're counting a lot of chickens.
All right, you're right.
Wow. She's not pregnant yet. We're hoping.
Yeah, no, okay, good.
We're going in. I haven't actually...
You're not married. You're not even married.
We're just hoping for the best, you know.
Cool. One day. Guys, so, you know, it's been a week in politics. It's been a month in politics. It's been a year in politics. Holy shit.
A lifetime.
It's been a lifetime in politics. A lot's been going on. It seems that Donald Trump seems a little unhinged.
I hate, you know, Twitter. We usually try to just avoid talking about Trump on Twitter, but I feel like this is the week to talk about Trump on
Twitter.
Because
we don't like to jump into it
away. He's really been going crazy on Twitter. I mean,
we like to have an appetizer first, but now we're just going straight for the main course.
Main courses now.
I want to talk about last week's Trump Twitter thing because we didn't have a show last week, and I know that this is kind of old news at this point, but I just want to talk about Tim Apple briefly.
Yeah.
Because I think the fundamental problem with our president is that he does have narcissistic personality disorder, as George Conway pointed out again this weekend, and that he can never admit that he's wrong, and that he lies all the time, even the most simple lies. But I think Tim Apple is maybe my favorite lie of all time.
Will you explain it to the audience?
I will explain it for those that maybe didn't see it. But the mistake is no big deal. Tim Cook, from CEO of Apple, is sitting next to him. He refers to him as Tim Apple during the meeting. Anyone can do that.
I mean, that's how he's in my phone, so I get it.
Cody is personal friends with Tim Cook.
Yeah. We're besties. He's the real father of my children. Even though he's gay, we made it work.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And I get free Apple products, so it works out. anybody could slip and say Tim Apple. It's not the craziest thing. You just say, you know, I feel like if Obama had said Tim Apple, the next day on Twitter, Obama would have said, like, had a great meeting with Tim Apple, and tomorrow I'm meeting with Steve Microsoft. And we all would have laughed, and he would have been self-effacing, and we'd have moved on and never talked about it. Instead, first Trump said, actually, I did say Cook. I just said it really fast, and you couldn't hear it.
Because he forgot that video
honestly,
is
for those of you who
thing.
Might think that I'm joking, that is honestly what he said.
But he said that on Twitter, though, right? Yeah. Like the next day. So, like, someone who understands how humans work would correct their mistake instantly if they realized it. But to be like, I'll fix this a day later on Twitter with a lie that makes no sense.
Yeah, I said Tim Cook Apple so fast that no one could hear it, and my four-year-old has better lies than that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really bad lie.
It is funny to think about, if it took him a day, what were the lies in between he was considering saying that he was like, it's not believable.
So then eventually it came to pass that there was video of it and that we had all seen it and we could maybe like slow it down or just fucking watch it and realize he didn't say cook.
Because his lips would move in that way.
Correct.
He's like, can we get him to change his name to Tim Apple? Is that something we could workshop before we
Tim Cook did change his name to Tim Apple on Twitter for a while, which is great. But so then Trump's next excuse was that he did it to save time and words.
He's a busy man.
Cook is a long last name. You know, Charlie has a four-letter last name, too, and I'm often like, I just can't tell people my son's last name, you know?
Yeah, instead of calling me Charlie Todd, you just call me Charlie Improv Everywhere, and it saves time and words.
Charlie
Two Beers.
It's actually really great, because, and I don't mean to jump ahead, but like a week later, he was watching Fox News on Saturday night, and they had taken one of his hosts off the air. His favorite
Jeanine
host
Pirro,
up there, Jeanine Pirro, and he tweeted out, like, bring her back. And it's that Trump is, he's so many things that you forget that he's also just an old man.
Yeah.
And
there's
nothing more, like, old man-ish than yelling at the TV that you want your favorite character to come back.
Bring back Matlock!
It's very shocking every now and then. Like, oh, he's a 72-year-old grandpa.
Well, didn't he live tweet, like, Fox News for, like, 5 hours straight this week? And then he also started tweeting about an old episode of SNL that was on that he was mad about their impression of it? Like,
I woke up on Sunday morning and I saw there was a Trump tweet about SNL. And I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't know there was an SNL last night. And I'm looking on my YouTube TV DVR trying to find last night's SNL until I discover he was just mad about a rerun.
It was a Christmas episode, so he must have been like, I guess it's Christmas.
It's so peak grandpa. Like when you're trying to be like, is there something else behind this master plan? It's like, no, you really just imagine if your grandpa was president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
The idea that he was trying to save time is because he never is trying to save time or anything, really.
He's like, he had a two-hour speech at CPAC.
The longest ever.
He's literally never in D.C. He's just like always in Florida or just roaming the country.
Because D.C. hates him. He doesn't like to be surrounded by people that don't like him.
Yeah.
They can't vote anyway.
Representation without taxation. No, the other way.
That's good. I want to try that out.
You know what?
I'm into that.
That's what I like.
The last Trump Twitter thing I want to bring up is that it was either yesterday or today, he retweeted Larry the Cable Guy's retweet of James Woods. And I think that's a real hat trick.
I didn't know you could do that. That Twitter could track that you retweeted someone
else's retweet. So basically, Larry the Cable Guy's retweet was sort of a modified, more of an MT. He was like, hat tip James Woods, this video of a white kid getting patted down at security that everybody was outraged about.
Man, even you saying Larry the Cable Guy is such a time trip for me. It's such a thing, it's such a 2004 like time warp. I didn't realize he was still alive.
His name is actually Larry Guy, I think, if you want to get to it.
You just saved a lot of time and words.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Got to get through this.
Larry TV.
Larry, yeah.
Well, the most powerful man in the world retweeted Larry the Cable Guy today. And George Conway, Kellyanne Conway's husband, has been tweeting about Trump and insisting that he has narcissistic.
Someone is clapping for a marriage that is clearly not working.
You're clapping for the marriage itself, right? Their beautiful union.
What's the deal with their marriage? What do you guys think?
We're all married, guys. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being they're very unhappy and 1 being they're extremely unhappy and ill-fitted for each other. Where do they fit?
I think the opposite. I think they go home.
You think they're just like fucking like crazy bunnies?
They're wildly fucking. Safe word is Trump. Everything's fine. It's super hot. They say that word a lot. But what I think happens is I think at home, their actual politics are in the middle, and they're out there playing a little game all the time. Because there's no way those two people go home where they... Like, Kellyanne Conway literally was shitting on her husband on TV today.
Yes!
And it's just like, what? How does that... That's end divorce. That's divorce shit.
It is so weird. And then like her party line the whole time has been like, well, Mary Matlin and James Carville are also separate couples, and they were Republicans and Democrats, and they just. Yeah. I was like, no, he thinks that you're working for a literally insane person who's ruining the world. Like, that's not the same thing as being like, well, I believe in healthcare for everybody, and I believe that we should have private insurance. I mean, it's like. You're saying that this person is working for a mentally ill person.
Yeah.
Who is like, propping up a government that is corrupt. And they somehow can go home and have a functional marriage.
Maybe
it
it's like
weird.
A love triangle. It's like a Archie, Betty, Veronica thing.
Oh, you think they're having threesomes? They're all fucking?
Yeah. Like, cool. Kelly's the Archie, and like, Trump is the rich Veronica. And George is like the girl next door, Betty.
You think Trump's a Veronica? No, thank you, Justin. No.
What's not Veronica about Trump? Veronica, like, does what she wants, has a lot of money, like, doesn't give a fuck, and treats Archie.
Veronica's pretty.
Okay.
Veronica.
You make a good point. You make a good point.
Veronica probably has narcissistic personality disorder.
Fuck yes, that's what I'm saying.
Trump is Veronica's, like, hermit crab brother.
But I want to talk about this disorder because I've been saying for the start of the presidency that he has this, and other people have been saying this too. Mm. Many people have been saying this. But I just want, like, George Conway tweeted that this weekend. He tweeted, like, the pillars of the diagnosis or the qualifications for the diagnosis, and I just want to briefly try to read them. Has a grandiose sense of self-importance. Yes. Is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, and beauty. Yes. Believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or associated with other special people. Requires excessive admiration. Has a sense of entitlement. Is interpersonally exploitative. Lacks empathy. Is envious of others. And shows arrogant and haughty behaviors. I mean, it's literally nine for nine.
It sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons character sheet for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It just sounds like all his characters.
Wow, that's the worst character
Charlie
to end up with.
Got accepted to grad school, by the way. He's getting his PhD.
Congratulations.
But I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever. I don't even know the difference between the two. But I'm so tired of this, like, well, these people can't armchair diagnose them. Like, a real psychiatrist would have to sit down with them. And it's so fucking obvious that he has this disorder.
Well, let me just say, did you call him a hottie? Because that flies in the face of your Veronica claim.
But don't you... Sorry, go ahead.
Another thing about people...
Thinks he's a hottie is what it is.
Our marriage is faltering, Justin. Yeah,
good, good, good.
Yes, Beth.
People with narcissistic personality disorder also tend to do this thing where they have what's called flying monkeys, which is people they send out into the world to do their bidding and, like, wreak havoc for them.
Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen, Kellyanne Conway. He has so many of these people. And the thing about narcissists is they destroy these people's lives. It's like he's
Michael Cohen.
Yeah. It's
Kellyanne Conway.
Literally everyone who Trump touches turns to shit. Like, it's just every time.
So don't you, like, I have another
don't you guys feel a little bit bad for Kellyanne Conway though?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
Please explain.
Here's the thing. Like, okay, George Conway is married to this woman. She is she is his partner in life. His tweets are not going to save the republic. Do you think anyone gives a shit what he tweets about Trump? It's not
Trump
information.
Does.
Well, it's been the first story on the news for the last few days,
but some people give a shit. That's had changed no one's mind. All those narcissistic personality disorders are like why Trump's voters selected him.
Think of it this way, Juman. You're married. If your wife became a Scientologist and started, like, following what's his fucking junk around, wouldn't you just, like, try to, like, tell her that he's crazy? Oh, shit, Lindsay, you need to not follow Xenu.
I'm not going
to
be...
It would be crazy if he started tweeting.
I'm not going to be tweeting at Xenu. Yeah, yeah. How dare
Does
you,
Xenu
sir?
Yo, Xenu, get off my wife's jock.
I would
We're
be trying
to
convince
have a baby.
My wife. I'd be like, hey, wife, why don't you leave Xenu?
She wouldn't. She wouldn't leave Xenu, so are you going to start tweeting at Xenu?
No,
maybe?
What's the point of tweeting at Xenu?
He's not trying to save us. He's trying to preserve his own reputation. He's trying to be like, I see this happening.
I think that's a secret thing they have at home where it's like, okay, George, you're doing this.
Justin really believes in the power of their marriage.
What? They have to see. It's not like they don't see each other. What do they say to each other? They're like mortal enemies on Twitter.
I mean, look, if they're trying to do the Kushner thing where they're like kind of trying to straddle both sides and see what happens at the end, then I think that's That's at least a rational strategy.
What fucking sides are Kushner and Ivanka taking?
Come on, every time Trump is like, I want to tattoo Muslims. They're all like, well, I tried to stop him, but he said no, and I did my best to.
That's
stop
they
him.
Want to
so
still
when you're
come,
arresting the Nazis 6 years later, like, don't find us in Switzerland.
Yeah, but it's like that's a rational thing to try to be like, well, no matter how this shakes out, I want a career afterwards.
So, guys, I have another question about Donald Trump's Twitter. Why does he keep fucking talking shit about John McCain? He died of brain cancer.
That's when you go for the knockout punch,
please,
man.
This isn't funny. It's terrible. The guy died of brain cancer recently.
And it's not just
extremely recently.
It's not just Twitter. He was on a news conference today.
He keeps
right?
talking shit about John McCain. What the fuck is wrong in your brain?
It's Donald
that
Trump's
you're
best opponent. You can't fight back. He's dead. It works out.
But Meghan McCain's
the
on the view.
Ideal opponent for Donald Trump.
He keeps bringing up John McCain, who was in a camp. Like, he was a prisoner of war, and now he died of brain cancer.
Right.
What is wrong?
Remember the thumbs down, though? Here's what I think. Ghost. I think ghost.
You think McCain's ghost is haunting him?
Exactly.
I agree with
exactly.
that.
That's what I'm saying.
I believe that.
So, like, of course you're like, fuck this ghost. I can't punch the ghost. I can't fight the ghost. I'll shame the ghost on Twitter.
Works.
Suck it, ghost.
Works.
How does
Ghostbuster?
I saw a very shell-shocked interview with Lindsey Graham on Nightly News Tonight where he was just like, well, I'm going to tell Donald to stop. And like, how hard is it that your current boyfriend is talking shit about your dead boyfriend? I mean, that's,
yeah.
that's tough.
It's hard to choose which apple is the most rotten in our current politics, but
which
man,
Tim Apple?
Which Tim Apple? Right. Exactly. That when I say apple, I've shortened it further because I'm in a rush. but I got it. Like Lindsey Graham has become like truly that shit during the Kavanaugh hearing, where and all that, and then to now be that shitty toward John McCain, who he. Like, all the, like, relationship shit aside, like, he was clung to him. Like, John McCain buoyed him up when he was such a shit, and now he is, like, letting Trump shame McCain in front of everyone and doesn't say a word and has changed his politics to such a degree that it's unbelievable.
I think in retrospect, John McCain was holding Lindsey Graham back.
True.
Like, now that we've seen Lindsey Graham go full Trump, it seems to me now that, like, McCain was out of respect for McCain... Lindsey Graham was trying not to express his full support for Trump. But
oh, wait,
now...
Are you saying like, Lindsey Graham has a spine? That's interesting.
No. Well,
so most...
No, the opposite.
Most closeted gay men, when their father figure dies, they come out of the closet and they become gay, right? In this case, when Lindsey Graham is a closeted gay man, when his father figure died, he just came out as more conservative.
Again, Charlie just got accepted to...
Yes, this is good.
Physiological psycho.
Lindsey Graham's gay, you guys. I'm from South Carolina. He's yeah.
And but, Charlie had an affair with him.
Yeah.
Interesting. Go ahead.
Don't you think that all of these Republicans just have been given the same Russian money through the NRA and they're all incriminated, and as this all shit hits the fan, they're
That's
why they're getting closer and closer to Trump. Because they're all implicated.
They all fuck that one redhead Russian from the NRA.
Maria Butina?
Not for Lindsey Graham. He didn't.
Yeah. But he went to the hotel and was like, this is cool.
He's like, y'all, I don't know. I'm going to go have a Coors Light downstairs.
Yeah. Put that gun away briefly. Well, I mean, I wish that were true. I think it's way sadder than that. I think Lindsey Graham is like, I'll hitch my wagon to this pile of shit now. Because he doesn't have any other options, because he doesn't know how to be a regular person.
Yeah, well, they all have severe daddy issues, and they're all each other's daddies.
I want to talk about...
And that's parenting, Zubin. That's parenting.
So Zubin's on our panel. Zubin's an expert in Fox News. He's watched more Fox News than anybody in this room.
Love it.
He's a scholar on a show
Genuinely.
Called The Five.
Unironically.
PhD in The Five.
But I'm just curious. I was looking at Trump's Twitter feed while I was preparing for tonight, and like... I would say like 30% of his last 20 tweets are just Fox News videos. No commentary. He just uploads a Fox News clip. And I'm curious what sort of the state of the union is at Fox with Jeanine getting kicked out, Tucker's in trouble. Are they just going to continue to be state television where the president just like
here's actually
live
like,
reviews them?
Here's some like info about that. It's actually now that the Fox News Corp has been spun off from Fox the larger parent corporation, Fox.
Disney, just bought all of like the creative properties.
But they spun off the Fox News Channel, which is its own. And the understanding now is that one of the younger Murdoch sons is going to take over that property from Rupert Murdoch. With Roger Ailes gone, there's this big power struggle developing between the younger Fox Murdoch, who is by all accounts, more of like a libertarian Republican, kind of like a Romney Bush Republican, and you know the Sean Hannity, Jeanine Pirro Trump Republicans who are saying, you know, the young Murdoch is saying this. All this like Trump stuff looks horrible for us. It's embarrassing the network. It's bad long term. But the Sean Hannitys are rightfully saying, like, hey man, that's the base. That's the viewers. Who are you gonna pick? And I think in the next like year or so, you're gonna see a power struggle between the opinion side and the let's not look like insane side. That's gonna be between the two of them. I genuinely think that's gonna be like Trump is like really bad for Fox News in that respect. That the network is being torn apart. They've never had to be defending state power before. Under Obama, they could be like, oh, great, like we hate everything you do. Now they have to advance a governing agenda. They don't know how to do it, and it's kind of fucking them up. This next 2 or 3 years, watch for this. Watch for this power struggle. We'll see how it ends. I think Sean Hannity wins.
You think this is going to happen in time for 2020 or during 2020?
Through 2020, I bet. I bet you, because they're going to want to hold off on the campaign while they figure out. They're not going to want to mess anything while the campaign's going, because like everyone's firing on all cylinders. Like campaigns naturally with media is like, here's our like money time. Let's just be chill and just get a lot of money. Then once the elections are over, they'll start firing and cleaning staff. I'm willing to bet Sean Hannity and Jeanine Pirro and these and Tucker Carlson's come out ahead.
So one other Fox question. Do you think the Democrats are making a mistake by not doing a Fox News primary debate?
Ooh.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, the journalists...
They haven't done it in a long time. I don't know why it's a big story this time around. But.
I don't know. I mean, I think the journalists at Fox, like you know, like Chris Wallace and Shep Smith aren't bad ones.
Journalists.
That's not fair. They are definitely like... They're you know,
actually,
like how
like
some
Chris Wallace. I watched Fox
some bacteria
News
aren't all bad, you know? So the ones that like make you poop are not bad, you know? And those I think are like the Shep Smiths and Chris Wallace's.
He makes you
of
poop.
Fox News. He makes you poop.
Great.
And
so
it works.
That's a compliment.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think like I don't know, like by not doing that, I think you first off, I think that the Democrats are they're all going to be they're all so bad.
I don't know about this because even when the Democrat candidates get questioned by like CNN or something, the questions are still like, how do you feel about not being likable? Like, the questions are so bad.
George Stephanopoulos on ABC asked the shittiest questions.
They're terrible.
Hillary.
What happens when you bleed from your vagina every month? Do you, like, want to start a war? I don't understand what goes through your brain.
Are you right now? You seem angry.
Yes.
I agree. I think they should refuse. They should refuse to do that because it's not. Why give that garbage network a debate, which is a huge ratings win for them? We don't need to. The problem is all the Democrats have been so mealy mouthed about it that they're just like, well, oh yeah, I don't know if that's the right thing. When it should be like, no, fuck, we're not going to do that.
Their
like,
state television, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
They have racist hosts, fuck them.
If they can own the issue, then it could be a win. But instead, it's classic Democrat issue of just wallowing in it and not being able to come out and make a strong stance. And And I think that's going to be a big problem going forward in general in this 2020 campaign.
So let's move over to 2020 Watch. We need to get a sound effect for that.
You should have a sound up there.
Yeah. 2020 Watch.
Well, good. We choose different things and also sort of sexual there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I've been working on that at home. Charlie doesn't find any of it attractive, but cool. So...
It's 594 days away, guys. That's like tomorrow.
No, but
that's
we have to quick. Keep talking right. about it. We have to. Let's just start off with who's everyone's person to watch now.
Oh, interesting. What do you mean by person to watch?
I don't know. Literally, someone asked me this. I was like, I'm ready to vote for chair. Literally, nice. Just like a chair.
The chair that Clint Eastwood sat in at the RNC?
Honestly, I would vote for that chair over Donald Trump. I would vote
conservative.
For anyone.
That chair was deeply conservative, let's not forget.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
But that was actual another chair.
That applauded. Chair was like Romney conservative.
Yeah, so what do you guys think? Who's excited that's in the race now?
Who's exciting you guys?
I mean, I think Warren did great at the town hall this week. She had some really great things to say. It felt like she's informed. She has things she stands for. She has a lot of real policy planned.
Wow.
Someone say like what?
Mike Wood? Is that the
he
baseball
said,
player?
Like what?
Huh? Oh, that's Mike Trout.
Well, I mean, she's for Medicare for all. I believe she's talked about family.
I mean, the idea of workers owning parts of corporation, having seats on their boards is very interesting. I like that idea that she has a lot.
And she has a vagina, which I like.
Ending a monopoly for hearing aids?
Wow. That's a very specific
issue.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel
There's one company that has a monopoly on hearing aids.
Like, yeah, but it makes...
Let me ask you, do you hear, obviously, though? What's your stake in this hearing aid issue?
Legit, though, I thought she was, like, against taxing medical devices. She's very much for, like, medical devices not being taxed, right? Is that it? Which I understood that to be...
This is one of those issues where it's like, what? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Everyone's in a fucking free fall right now. And you're like, no, the hearing aids are going to be taxed. It's like, how many people are thinking about this?
That matters to people.
To be fair, Cher had none of these specifics.
Right.
Yeah. Cher was being very vague, and I didn't like that, but, like, you know, I get it. Beth, one of the things that's been frustrating, we sort of touched on this earlier, is that already we have a lot of women running, which is amazing, but I'm talking to you because you're a woman. This is a podcast. Nice. Beth and I both have vaginas. We are women.
That checks out.
Do you think it's going to be easier or harder in the long run because there are so many women running? Do you think it's going to help strengthen numbers? I know we're seeing a lot of early sexist. Yeah.
There's a lot more men running than women, though, right?
I think there is more men, but in terms of who's getting heat overall, like, men are getting more of the money. They're already getting more high profile interviews, but they're in terms of like the top. Six or so, I'd say we have a decent amount of women this time around.
And I think more women are running than ever before.
Yeah.
The stat.
Yeah. What was your question?
Sorry, what? Do you think it's going to be easier this time around because there are more women? I mean, they're still going to get sexist stuff, but do you think it's just because there's more, they'll be able to sort of stay above the
fray? I hope so. Here's my, like, I'm always way too hopeful, obviously. I didn't think Trump would be here right now. But my hope is that these Democrats can play it cool a little bit, which is that they can disagree with each other, but also point out where they do agree and amplify each other and be, at the end of the day, teammates on this. Because I think in this current, like, team of candidates, I think we have a few different people with some really good ideas that I find interesting and that I would like to see enacted. And I'd love to see all of those things come to pass. And I would love for them to have each other's back and be like, if he gets elected, if she gets elected, I'm still for that, and we're still both going to make that happen. Because I do think that was lost last time around with, like, the sort of cutting each other down aspect of it. And
we're all for getting health care for people. It's whether or not we're for Medicare for all or single payer, or, like, there are different ways we can all get about it, but I would hope the Democrats in general would be like, we're all for this. We all have different ways to go about that, and we think they're a correct way. But one of the things that I thought was interesting, Beto O'Rourke, who's now in the race now,
good.
Beto
fans. Loves
which, by the way, I think it's really... he's a great candidate, but everybody's like, woo! Like, he's sexy, and I don't get it. I just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fine, but I guess it's just because he's
arms.
Not
you
old.
You need to, like, bat down nuclear weapons as they're coming towards the city.
Cody's got a big crush on Pete Buttigieg.
Yep. And again, like I said, with Tim Cook, he's going to have sex with me. We're going to have a kid, but he's not really into it, you know, because he's gay.
Pete is gay.
I love to have kids with gay men and then pass them off as Charlie's.
That's great. Oh, that's...
It's my thing.
It's worked so many times and so far. It's worked
two for two.
He's excited to get some free South Bend, Indiana ice cream.
My optimism is on, like, a Warren Buttigieg ticket going forward. But what I think it's going to be is Biden Kamala. Is what I feel like is where we're going to end up.
But what is Biden even doing right now?
Is Biden?
He's legit fucking around. He's like, I don't know, I'm cool.
He's the most
I can show up at the party at midnight and everyone will still be like, he came. He came to the party. That's truly what's happening.
But that was...
And he's going to declare, I feel like, within the week, and everyone's going to be like, yeah, and then it's going to be a bunch of bad shit about him for so long. He's still going to get the nomination, and I think he's going to choose Kamala or one of the other women candidates.
But he's never got the nomination before, right? I mean, people forget that he ran for president in 2008 and also 2004.
We love a person that never won anything before but is now going to come and all of a sudden sweep.
He ran for president in the fucking 70s. That's how old he is. That's crazy.
I will say I don't want to be ageist, and I love.
I am openly ageist. I was openly ageist for like an hour in our last show. Go on.
I like Joe Biden, and I like Bernie, and I like Elizabeth Warren. But man, I would love to vote for somebody younger than me, and Mayor Pete is younger than me. I just turned 40. Mayor Pete's like 37, 38.
Also, fuck him for that. Though,
also
right?
came out this week that he's a fish fan. I'm also a fish fan.
Of course he is. He's Beto a 40-year-old white guy.
Let me be honest. I like him a lot less. A lot less hearing that.
Beto's a Guided by Voices fan. I'm a Guided by Voices fan. But just like to have a president who like listens to the same music that I listen to.
Yeah, Charlie wrote this question is like, what would it be like to have candidates close to their own age? And I was like, you mean your own age?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a lot of 20-year-olds on the panel right
what?
Now.
What? Some of us are still right. in our 30s,
in the crowd, Charlie. In the crowd. We're pretending we're much younger than we are for the crowd.
I will say,
guys,
I don't think I could
I am
vote.
A white woman who's also 24.
Well, I'm kind of tired of this thing of like, oh, this politician listens to rock music. Like, this is happening a lot with Beto, and it's like, yeah, we all listen to music. Just because he's like a old white
but he
dude.
Air drummed in a Whataburger drive-through to a Who song, we gotta vote for him, right?
Yeah, but this brings me back to what some people from Hillary Clinton's staff were like, oh, yeah, look at this terrible, unflattering photo of Beto O'Rourke eating at a Culver-like burger, and he's like literally his eyes are half open, and he looks like he's stoned.
But he tweeted that, right?
He tweeted it, and they were like, this must be nice. If we actually tweeted a picture like this of Hillary, it would have been like, she's on death's doorstep. Look at this crazy fucking bitch ready to die at a Culver's. They had to call the ambulance or like whatever. She's turning into a hamburger and there's children being molested in the basement.
It's just, I feel like when it's a female candidate, they were like, what were you doing 20 years ago when you were in college? And when it's a guy, they're like, he eats burgers? I love it.
It's true.
I really,
yeah, it's
one
true.
Thing I do like, I really hate the like, I hate when people run and they're like, I'm just like you. I'm working out. They post these pictures of them being real people. It's like, all right, go fuck yourself. But Kirsten Gillibrand had a shirt on that she posted a picture of her like lifting weights, and it said like, I'm doing it so I can have ranch. And I was like, yes, queen. Yes, I love it. I was like, that appeals to me. I am a young mom who loves ranch dressing. I'll vote for you.
No, do you know
changed
what
me.
She was referencing though?
No, what?
Oh, this will change your mind completely about
it. Oh, no. Yeah. It wasn't about Hidden Valley Ranch?
No, it was a meme. She was at a campaign event trying to talk in this like loud restaurant. I think it was like a Fuddruckers. And as she's talking, some woman like walks by her and is like, I'm just trying to get the ranch. And goes to pick up the ranch bottle.
Oh, wait, that was me, Jubin. That was me.
She's always just trying to get the ranch.
Oh, no. So she's not a ranch dressing lover?
It blew up as a meme. Like,
I hate it. I'm not
her.
Voting for her. Like I said, she's a bitch. There's something about her I don't like. I think it's her vagina.
Yeah, her weak ranch stance.
How dare she wear a shirt that says ranch and not be a fan of ranch? I don't like it. I hate her. She's unelectable.
That story is great, though, and it's just such an example of how humbling it is to run for president, that you have to go all over the country and you have to give talks in places where people just want you to get out of the fucking way so they can get the ranch dressing.
Yeah.
30 years ago, that stuff would like just kind of disappear into the ether, but like now the fact everyone's like filming you, and he just like some guy walking behind you being like, fuck you, immediately becomes auto-tune. It's a meme. You're just sitting there with your dumb face like, and then you got to be president, like, trying to run for president on that. It's very difficult. I feel like last time I tried, I believe very fervently, just like Beth, that like Hillary Clinton was going to win. I believed all the polls.
I remember, after that,
I'm trying very hard not to predict anything anymore and just kind of feel like, well, what is it that I'm inspired by? What is it that I like in a candidate? And I'm not super into any of the Democratic candidates right
now. None of them?
Wait, have you
I know we dress alike, obviously, but well, that doesn't mean...
Wearing very similar shirts, Justin.
But honestly, I'm shamed by his shoes, as always. But no, you're not inspired by any of them?
They all have like at least one major flaw that personally for me is not a deal breaker, but it's definitely, it stops me from...
What's
Elizabeth Warren's flaw?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren's flaws.
Let's break down the flaws.
Yeah, let's break down the flaws, because I feel like for the men, it's like, he has zero platform. And then for the women, it's like, she seemed mad once.
She seemed mad.
Yeah.
Amy Klobuchar was once
rude. She had a shirt
rude.
That said ranch.
I've
she
seen
doesn't
ranch
like
dressing,
ranch.
Yeah.
I mean, Amy Klobuchar legitimately seems like when she gets mad, she gets very mad. Yeah.
She's
like,
going to be a problem.
Yeah.
She should have called it quits already. I don't.
Like,
but that's her thing, though. She's like, I'll throw a fucking binder at you. Like, I love
it. A binder full of women.
Since that story came out, she's owning it in a weird way, which is like, okay, this is the politics now where it's like, what's interesting about me? Well, everyone hates that I ate a salad with a comb. So now give me more combs. What can I eat with a cone? Macaroni and cheese. Trump. I'll eat Trump with a comb. It's like, what are you even talking about?
No, that's legitimately like, they were saying like, you throw things at your staff and you call them in the morning and she's like, well, that's the dedication I bring and that's the dedication I expect that I'll bring to America and that I expect America to have. Which sounds like she's going to call like me up at 5 in the morning and be like, get the fuck to the gym. What are you doing? Like, I don't want a president like
she
that.
She wants you to go to your gym?
Honestly, it sounds like I don't want her to like treat me like she treats her staff. I'm not a Klobuchar
guy.
I'll
tell you what, if a president called me and was like, hey man, go to the gym, I'd be like, fuck, you're right.
Yeah, but
thank you. Like, I'm down with, I want that platform. I want to be ordered into that shit. Is that communism? Sure, maybe. But I'm down with that communal living. Let's work out.
Wait, didn't she try to blame it on Russia, though? She was like, well, when Russia's involved, you gotta get angry. Like, it was like...
Yeah, no, it was not
that's
at
better
all
spend.
Like I've gone to... Yeah, like she was gonna throw a binder at Putin? I don't know what, like, the unstated assumption there was.
That's good. No, wait, what's the Warren flaw, to follow up on Charlie's question?
Wait,
what's
Warren's flaw? You said everyone has a flaw.
Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? How high does this... Oh, is there any casting directors in the audience?
A lot of people.
I was never a lead in a musical in high school, so put me in your musical. Just kidding, guys.
Were you trying
you
to sing
laugh.
Color?
I'm
not
auditioning.
Trying to sing the Pocahontas song?
Yeah, was that?
Yeah, guys.
It took me 2 minutes.
Come on.
I think I went over
song.
A lot of people's psycho.
I feel
that
like
was a
you
song
sang
from
a verse from the middle.
You sing the lead verse.
Have you ever seen the colors of the blue corn moon? Is that correct?
The blue corned moon?
I
didn't write
colors
it.
Colors of
just...
the wind. Colors of the wind is the name of the song.
10% of the audience knows the song you're singing. We got to move on.
I mean, no one's winning an award right now.
Is it Pocahontas? Anyway. Is that the flaw?
Like, I'm not personally, when Elizabeth Warren speaks, I'm not, like, inspired by her rhetoric. I don't find her soaring in the way that I find, like, Obama or the way
I want to ask you about this, Beth, because
I feel the same way. Very much what is the thought that is happening in the audience right now.
I know.
It is not a gender thing.
Which is what I want to bring it up, because I feel the same thing about Elizabeth Warren, where I loved her, and I would see her before she was a politician on Bill Maher or Jon Stewart, and I'm like, I love everything she says, and then the first time I saw her speak was at one of the DNCs, and I was like, oh, that's too bad. She can't really speak. And I don't know if I'm being sexist and saying, like, a woman can't inspire me. I don't think that's true, because I feel like
there's other
female politicians who have inspired me, but I do feel like she doesn't.
Can you just say yes?
Can
you just say yes?
What?
I said I
ignored whatever you said. I wasn't listening to it.
You guys are too far apart on this panel. You guys should be a little...
Well, the way this show works is we make our way to the middle and then we make out Kellyanne and George Connolly.
am I a sexist for not being inspired by Elizabeth Warren's speaking ability when she's giving a speech?
I hear what you're saying.
She's great in a town hall, but giving a speech, like teleprompter
Okay,
style.
In a speech, in the past, I have totally agreed with you, which is that she's very cerebral. It comes across as like... to the average American probably comes across as like a know-it-all, whatever. But I thought at the town hall she was great, and I was like, oh, I think she's ready to do this, because she was really tapping into personal stories, talking about being a woman, and I just felt like, oh, like she has this experience. She's showing people on an emotional level why she cares about these issues. I think if she can continue to bring this to the campaign, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I hope so, because I agree with her politically in every way. I just want her to win.
And it's funny, I feel like back in 2016, it was like, oh, we all wish that Hillary Clinton had the fire that Elizabeth Warren had, because I feel like in a lot of her speeches, it was like, oh, bring a little more heat. And now there's just heat everywhere. So we're like, oh, what is good anymore? For me with Elizabeth Warren, I feel like when she released her 23andMe, being like, look, I was like, don't play Trump's game. That to me was the one time I saw her make a misstep. And I feel like she's someone who is so good at not making missteps with everything, top to bottom policy, the way she, her platform, the way she speaks. Because I like the way she speaks, especially compared to a lot of the other candidates right now. But that to me was like, you can't play Trump's game. Your whole thing is not.
I think she just wanted to get that out of the way. So at least she shouldn't have done it.
It was kind of a lose-lose. So I'm kind of glad it was cleared up, at least on that level. Yep. Like, it's just, it's unfortunate. There's like not a good way to handle that at this point.
One thing that I think is interesting, you talk about Elizabeth Warren not being like an inspiring speaker. But then I look at someone like Beto O'Rourke, who I really loved when he was running for Senate. And now I'm like, oh God, all this inspiring talk. Like, what the fuck are you gonna do? Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, if Obama ran now, I'd be like, dude, I can't fucking handle hope and change. Like, what the fuck are the specifics? I'm done with this shit. So it's I sort of feel like we need to find something in the middle, because it feels almost to me like Beto O'Rourke is like listening to old albums of Obama and trying to replay them. And I'm like, dude,
I was,
you know?
I was really alarmed by the profile of him last week, because it was like, he said he doesn't plan any of his speeches. I was like,
he's a rich white man.
He has no idea. Like, he's just coasting.
And then he's like, I am a rich white man. I don't have to. He says that.
I do think like it matters, like that, but that matters. Like, the context in which you're running matters in the kind of rhetoric you can use. I think I agree. Like, if Obama was running now, his rhetoric might sound very naive and silly compared to how Trump speaks and acts. And I think that matters when you have a guy like Beto who just seems like he's out of time. When I listen to him, I also think this is the most like earnest postgraduate student I've ever like listened talk. And I'm just not.
You're like
not,
the building's on fire.
Yeah.
The fucking building's on fire.
It's just I'm not into it.
Beto's the guy. It feels like right now the guy at your high school reunion who's giving the same like quarterback speech where you're like, hey man, that game was 20 years ago, and like we lost that game, man. Like, you gotta change up this fucking speech, dude.
Well, that's what's alarming me about Bernie is he's still talking about super delegates, and I'm like, dude, have you seen what's happened around here? Yeah. Like. They're trying to build a wall. Can you, like...
There are children in cages.
I'm just like, read cages. A room. Read a room.
Yeah.
Hey, fairy old man, read this room of 20-year-olds. Like, the bar.
No one here has heard of the Pocahontas song. They're not with you on the Super
Bernie, Bellic. Stop singing the middle of the Pocahontas song. No one knows the middle.
It is weird, though. Like, when you see, like, how, like, at least... Based on, and I don't know how much of a proxy this is, but when you look at fundraising, just based on the same day fundraising of the first campaign announcement day, seeing how young people who are like extremely online on Twitter, their favorite candidates seem very different from candidates that most Democrats seem to like. Just based on the fundraising so far, it seems to be like Beto, Bernie, and Biden seem to be like the top three characters.
Because they only know two letters in the alphabet.
The first A, B, and they're like, whatever.
Those are the people that have raised the most in the first
I mean,
day.
Biden hasn't jumped in yet, right. But polls show that those three guys seem to be like at the top. Mm. And I think like, young activist Rose Twitter is all about either Bernie I think that's it, maybe Warren. And activists like very much, like people online do very much not like Biden at all. Like they're very much, this guy is too old. He's too tied into the criminal justice system that we have right now. I don't know if you're clapping for the fact that that's
system?
What you agree or...
That's chair again.
But the fact is, like, a lot of Democrats are like, I just want somebody who just smells like he was next to Obama, and I will vote for that guy.
Nah.
Like, all they want is someone that just reminds them of Obama. And if whoever...
Did I mention that chair is Obama's chair?
I mean, like, that's honestly, like, I think, like, Biden's whole thing is like, hey... Remember Obama? I was next to him, and I think
and we're pals. There's a lot of memes
that's
of us
theory.
Fist bumping.
I think a lot of Democrats want that.
I don't know. I sort of disagree. I feel like the people that like Biden are like, Biden will win. Because everyone thinks Biden could have beaten Trump, and it's sort of
people
a Hillary
shaming
thing.
People think Bernie could have beaten Trump. Both of those camps, yeah. Biden and Bernie.
And I think that's actually a good sign politically. It feels like the Democratic side is very energized because they're like, we want to vote for someone that we think is a guaranteed win. And that's... For maybe wrong reasons, Bernie and Biden.
I don't know. I just always think that whole argument is like people being like, he's a white dude. We've always had white dudes. Let's keep doing white dudes. And it's not like, it's not a winning like argument. If you look at what's actually happened, like, I don't know.
I agree with you. I think you're right. It's not a...
Name one person that hasn't been a white dude. Yeah. Obama. Obama can win again. Great.
Because, but I think the argument is Obama is the other side of that, because he was someone who had, like, the odds were so stacked against him, and he inspired everyone and got, like, not a ton, but some young people to come back to the party, got people to really energize. And sadly, I think, though, the way the Democratic Party is right now is they're going to panic at the end and lean toward Biden.
I might be overly hopeful. That's my sort of thing. But, like, we've had in the last few years Black Lives Matter. We've had Me Too. We've had sort of a change in conversation. We have an insane president. I hope people are getting a little bit smarter. Again, I don't want to downplay the fact that Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. The election was rigged. And so I just, like, would like to be a little bit more hopeful before we all just throw our hat behind the same old tired white guy who puts in the same policies we've had forever. Like,
well, we also all thought at this point...
Yeah.
We also at this point in the race thought for sure Jeb Bush was going to win. Like, okay, it's Jeb Bush. Like, that's just how it's going to be, Jeb Bush. Like, everyone's for Jeb Bush. So, you know, it's a long ways away. And also, I would like to point out, Joe Biden is not even in the race yet.
Well, I'm curious.
He's like hanging out in Delaware.
Saying he's in the race accidentally.
Yeah.
I'm curious if there's anybody who's not running. There's lots of people running, but there's anybody not running that the panel would like to see get in. I have one in mind.
Mm. I mean, I was really sad when Sherrod Brown didn't run, because I thought he's a great candidate who has the ability to get to be to play to centrist voters because he's won so hard in Ohio, but also was out very progressive. And I thought he's just a great speaker, and I thought he was a good guy.
Good answer.
The person that can't run that I think should be a model for Democrats right now is Ocasio-Cortez, because...
Yeah. Not old enough, right? Oh.
She's she's going after these issues. She's really speaking to it. And I think one thing I think she's really speaking to is that the American people are hurting right now financially. Like, things are not good outside of all this chaos with Trump, like, in terms of economy, in terms of jobs, and in terms of the way the economy is headed in terms of, like, automation and a million other things. Like, people have a lot of problems that desperately need fixing, and that is, like, the kind of rhetoric I would like to see these Democrats leading with, because when Fox News tried to rail against Ocasio-Cortez for months, all they did was boost the profile of her policies. Yeah. Americans, even Fox News viewers, were latching on to her plans.
There's this great Fox moment where they, like, Hannity or somebody put up, like, the 10 things that she wants, and it's like, yeah. Free healthcare for all, free college education. Like, it's all these things. It's like, oh, man, that sounds like a dream.
Everybody is free, and they're like, this crazy person wants these things.
It's Canada,
is a sidebar, Canadian. And I just wanted to bring Canadian up something person. That she did last week that I just... It really, like, spoke to me. I really loved. She was giving a town hall with some of her constituents. And people who have children in New York City schools know that we have, like, 5 good high schools. And it is, like, an insane thing to get into these 5 good public high schools that are free. And so she was talking about how she wants to sort of eliminate that and figure out a way to make all the high schools good. And so there were some parents there who send their kids to these 5 high schools who were irate, right? Like, my kid goes to this school. Like, fuck you trying to take this school away, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yay. And everyone was trying to get these people to be quiet. She was like, no, I want to hear them speak. She was like, because the conversation, the argument shouldn't be between me and you, right? Like, between the two of us. That is a conversation of scarcity, right? Like, they want us to fight with each other. They want the person who's sending their kids to these great schools and good for them to fight with me. But that's what the people above us want. We should be banding together and talking about that, because, like, there shouldn't be a scarcity of schools. Like, we should figure out a way to make all the schools good.
Here.
Anyway, that was my sidebar. I really love that. I was like, yes, thank you. Like, we should all be thinking of ways to make them all good.
Yeah, and she didn't get freaked out by a heckler. She acknowledged their pain and sort of...
Yes, and I understand, like, as a person who's sending my kid to school, like, I don't want you to take away the good school that my kid's at. I get that. Like,
well, that's the thing about the AOC is she's unapologetic. She's like, no, this is what I think. Like, this is better for all of us. Get on board. And that's such a rare thing on either side, really, but especially on the Democratic side.
And she's not afraid to, like, misspeak or stutter, because she knows she's speaking to a truth that a lot of people are feeling right now.
To answer my own question, I want to throw out Stacey Abrams. I thought Stacey was very good at the Democratic. Let's give it up for Stacey. I thought she was very good at a Democratic response, which is a job that's usually tanked. You know, I thought she hit a solid double in that, nice. Which is amazing to do.
That's baseball,
cool.
I think.
Cool.
Heard her on Chris Hayes' podcast recently. And I don't know. I think she's inspiring. I think her story is great. She's a Star Trek fan. She seems like she's not that much older than me.
She writes romance novels.
Charlie's for a fish novel. Star Trek ticket. Buttigieg's Abrams Buttigieg.
What a crazy nightmare.
I would love to see Stacey get her. I don't know if she will.
I don't think she'll run, but I think she's a rising star. Andrew Gillum in that same breath. Like, I feel like he's coming up in a good way. I feel like they're sort of in the next
good VP
decade.
Picks. But both
what's,
of them.
What's interesting mm-hmm. to me is, you know, one of the things we talk about is like people actually just want to hear people talk about things they believe in. We're sick of politicians, right? We're sick of people that are like, I'm for whatever policy you're for. You know, they say it in this like waxed, you know, polished way. And it's like, no, just say what you really think, you know? And I think that's what people are craving.
Just like Donald Trump.
Donald Trump says what he's thinking. He does. He thinks different things every 5 minutes. But he really does want to give you the best healthcare ever that's also the cheapest and the most perfect and the most amazing.
When is that coming out? Because we heard a lot about that in the campaign trail. Where is that plan?
I think Stormy Daniels might have it.
Because John McCain gave that thumbs down to keeping Obamacare, but surely the Republicans and Trump have plan coming.
It's coming out soon, and it's already happened, and it's fantastic.
We're going to change gears real quick. Just curious what if the panel's seen the Michael Jackson documentary and if you guys think... If you guys think that
Oh, my God. Everyone in the crowd is leaving.
Groaned.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Everyone's standing up
at
the same time.
I'm just curious. Is it okay to listen to Michael Jackson ever again?
It's very funny. I was just talking with someone about this, and they were saying, I will listen up to Thriller, and then not after Thriller. I was like... That's fucked up. That's a bullshit answer.
Because bad era Michael Jackson.
Jackson 5 when he was being molested, but I will
exactly.
not listen to when
exactly.
Because
they're like, I will only listen allegedly. To when I assume he started molesting people. It's like, yo, that's...
Wait, I had this quandary this week because a Jackson 5 song popped up on my phone, and I was just like, oh, wait, can I listen to this? Like,
he was 7, so it's okay.
But wait, did Michael Jackson start molesting kids when he released I'm Bad? Am I just now putting
that
together?
Was documentary.
I think you're listening to the words and you're like, oh, he is bad.
Yeah, that's my question.
He really meant it.
No, actually, this is what I found. We watched it, and it's excruciating. And I actually think as the parent of a young child, it was actually good to watch because it is about the sort of seduction of molestation, and we think of it as such a cut and dry, like, well, first of all, like, why the fuck would you ever let a grown person sleep in the bed with your child? Hmm. Yes, number one, just don't let a grown man sleep in bed with your child. Cool. I've succeeded as a parent. I'm going home. I've won. But it was educational way to see the seduction of it and how it's, you know, not what you think necessarily. But one thing that I found interesting was this power of celebrity. And I think it relates to Donald Trump. I'm not saying Donald Trump molested anyone. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is No, I'm just saying that Michael Jackson walked through every photo shoot, every whatever, with a boyfriend, a 10-year-old boyfriend on his arm. And we all saw it and we all, oh, that's cool. He liked hanging out with little boys. Cool. And we all knew it. He did it in plain sight. And so we just sort of assumed, well, he's a celebrity. There's no way he could be molesting that child. Why would he bring that child out in public? And so for Donald Trump, it's like he does these things in plain sight too, where he says, like, he essentially says he's colluding with Russia and like hanging out with Putin. And we're just like, there's no way. That's way too obvious. There's no fucking way that happened. It's like, sometimes it just happens. Sometimes the obvious answer is the answer. Sometimes if Donald Trump or if Michael Jackson is hanging out with little boys and sleeping in the bed with them, he's also trying to molest them. You know? Anyway, comedy show.
I will say, I think it's important not to like vilify the parents too much. I understand there's a lot of blame to be placed, but there's a seduction. I will say also predators are oftentimes very good at choosing their victims.
Exactly.
They find people who are in distress,
That's why it's a good thing for parents to watch, as horrifying as it is.
Well, the documentary makes the parents out to be more stupid.
Yeah, but I understand that. I just want to say, like, in terms of the national conversation we're going to have around molestation, I think what's important to say is that molestation happens a lot more than people realize. And I think one thing that's important to acknowledge is that if kids are molested and then you then get them psychological help and you acknowledge what's happened to them, they often recover very well. So we need to stop sweeping this under the rug and stop trying to deflect blame
Catholic
being
Church.
So scared that it could happen to us. Because I think that's a lot of parents, like deflection and the blame of these parents is that we're trying to displace this fear of it happening to us. And it could happen to anyone under different circumstances.
Sure. And this case is, I mean, very, very pretty specific. Crazy. It's also the seduction of celebrity in addition to the seduction of a molester who's very...
I do think you can still listen to Thriller, though.
Really?
I mean,
did you watch the documentary?
Sort of scary.
Leaving aside...
Did you watch the documentary?
I did. But even leaving aside questions of, you know, are you giving them money or are you paying them, you know...
I think you've already bought it, you can enjoy it?
I think you can separate art from the artist. The artist does not bring...
Roxane Gay has a really great essay about separating art from the artist, and I think it's just sort of...
No one was listening to Thriller in the 1985 being like, wow, this sounds kind of child molesty. No one thought that.
I think that was maybe one of the issues with it.
But I'm saying the artist doesn't go through... The artist is not the art, and I think that you can have...
I think the artist is the art a lot of times.
I disagree.
Woody Allen, you don't think his movies about dating a teenager where the artist being the art, like it's...
But the art is about dating a teenager.
Yeah, no red flags
It's not like
there.
Hannah takes the...
Not a red flag
Yeah, it's
there.
Pretty much like autobiographical. Like he was dating
a teenager.
But that's
a question of the art itself. It's not like, for example, Annie Hall. Woody Allen's not in there.
I think if you look at any of those movies through the lens of 2019, at least to me as a woman, and you look at those female characters and try to see if they have any nuance besides being in love with him or some other character that is clearly like a projection of him, those women don't have a lot going on in terms of character development.
All right, what about The Cosby Show? Because Dr. Huxtable doesn't like roofing anybody. Like, can we watch?
We don't know. Well, he's a gynecologist.
And he was giving them epidurals when he was delivering their babies, which is basically a similar thing.
If you can watch that show without being triggered, I think you need to read up more.
Well, like, but that's what I think that goes back on Woody Allen and Michael Jackson. I feel like that music in those movies. For me, it's like I hear a Michael Jackson song now, I'm like, I can't listen to this.
I know, we think about this, like, playing that for our children. Like, you know, I always try to, like, have our sons listen to, like, you know, different types of music and, like, different classic music or whatever.
Voices. Anything that cool presidential candidates are listening to.
Anything, like, the hip, cool young kids are listening to, like, Guided by Voices and Fish. But, yeah, I'm just sort of like, oh, this feels weird. Letting my 4-year-old listen to Michael Jackson feels weird.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say... All the media we consume is problematic. Every person we like is problematic. Like, you're not going to get away. You're not never going to find, like, a clean slate. But I think with certain super predators, like, maybe you can find other things to consume besides their
But
content.
This all becomes a question of then, like, what is your personal opinion or your
on
taste
molestation.
For... what if your question of art consumption all becomes, what is the level of degradation that the artist who helped create it is involved in, that basically reduce art to the question of how morally pure is the artist who made it. And I don't think that's an appropriate metric to judge art
on. I think if you listen to Jermaine Jackson's albums for long enough, they're fine.
I also just want to point out, when you go to Zubin's house, it's literally just Roman Polanski movies.
I have the only Roman Polanski museum, and I can't lose that money.
Last question, because I don't want to end on Michael Jackson. Elizabeth Warren was talking today or yesterday about getting rid of the Electoral College. Do you think we have any hope to get rid of the Electoral College? When is the right time to get rid of the Electoral College? Trump pointed out today that it's a really bad idea because then cities wouldn't have any power and we would give all the power to the places where no one lives.
So stupid.
But what?
Anyway.
I think a Republican has to lose the popular vote.
Right.
Or win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College before that'll
happen.
That's
what we're going to do.
Shubin, you're smart. We are all smart. Can I ask a question?
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that Shubin smart tailwind.
Justin, what's your major? What was your major in college?
I was a government and theater double major.
Okay.
So look at I'm doing it both right fucking now.
But where?
I got into a school on a water polo scholarship that I didn't play.
Beth, I assume you studied pantyhose and periods?
What's that?
I assume you studied pantyhose and periods?
Yes,
at female college? Yeah.
I tried to get in. I couldn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. All of you are very smart. I'll be honest. What will it take? A constitutional amendment? Is that what would it take? Like,
no,
honestly,
no,
to get
not
rid
at
of?
All.
What would it
the
take?
The states right now, all you need is states, a number of states that comprise 270 electoral votes need to vote that the winner of the national popular vote will get all of their electoral votes.
So we
votes.
Could do that now.
13
easily.
States already have signed on to that compact.
Yeah.
It's up. It totals 181 votes. They need to get the remaining, whatever 270 minus 181 is. The only problem is, like, you know, you're going to need a couple of swing states probably in there, or red states.
And they won't,
in there.
Because they
Wyoming's
like,
thinking about it, though, right? They're ready to get on board.
Wyoming? Oh, yeah. Once we get Wyoming, the country falls.
I thought you said Miami's thinking about it, and I thought that was even more interesting. Like, Miami's thinking about
Miami
swinging
state.
The electoral college.
Part of the reason we're in this problem is because Iowa loves that people come to them, right? Like, because the small states want people to continue
yes.
to go. They have a lot of power that they wouldn't normally have.
But I genuinely don't think, like, the small swing states. States might, but the small red states like Wyoming and Idaho,
they don't get people anyway.
No one,
right?
Like they, yeah. this idea that presidents won't visit them, no
but
one fucking visits them
anyway. They have two
senators.
They have no one lives there, and they have two senators.
So they already have more power. They already have this immense power.
But they don't have that power on the Electoral College anyway. That's a false argument. If anything, having a popular vote would make Republicans in California and New York much more likely to vote. Because they actually their vote counts for once. It's
yeah.
There's no legitimate argument for the Electoral College. It's all either like, well, it's been the way it's always been, or it's like subtly pro, subtly partisan. It's either like pro Republican, which makes sense, I guess. Like if you are a Republican, you like
it is
Electoral
now.
College.
It's just is now because of the way that the populations have shifted in the last 100
yeah.
years, and I don't think that's going to change until even beyond a Republican winning the popular vote. I think it's just not going to change until literally Iowa is a desert. And there are still two votes going red.
We're talking like 20 years here, though, then, right?
Yeah, okay, not yeah, we're close.
There's like six states that are that no yeah. one lives in, and they have to.
But
I guess I'm making another argument, which is they should have no senators. Which
but
is,
I just feel like the way our
like DC,
the way our politics are now, it's like if we were all playing Monopoly, and someone was like, "What if we stopped using money?" People would be like, "No." Everyone, it's just such a game now, and both sides want to just win the game, and so I don't think the rules like that are going to change.
I do think, like, similar to what we were talking about earlier with white male candidates, though, like, this is the kind of thing where if we could eliminate this, we could get more of a groundswell for other candidates because there's sort of, like, more women could band together. You know what you mean? Like, our votes, all of us, people of color, our votes would count more, you know?
Yeah.
It's true. Like, in 2008, I was a little skeptical of Obama at the very beginning because we had been through 8 years of Bush, and I had the attitude at the time. I was like, I don't know, man. We're running a woman and a black guy. Like, we got to beat Bush. Like, we probably should just be a white dude. And then when I heard Obama speak in Iowa and win Iowa, I was like, oh, actually, a black guy can win. And that's fucked up. Like, you know, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, but
the audience member applause before someone's like, that's fucked up. There's always like a...
But I think the primary system would still exist. You would still go to these states first and
no,
right?
Get rid of that too. Just popular vote. Let's all vote on national holiday.
Okay, finally, we're going to wrap up, but just real quick, everyone is a parent or a parent-to-be. Have you all saved $500,000 to buy your children into college yet? Justin?
Yeah, I think so. I got to double check. But buying a child into a not good college is cheaper.
Okay, cool.
I believe. So I think I can just...
Beth?
No, the funny thing about being a millennial is that your grandparents will give you a check and be like, put this into the college fund. And you're like, what college fund? That's funny.
Cool.
Oh, shit.
I don't
even have that.
I don't think there's going to be a planet in 20 years. I'm not worried about it.
Cool.
Well, you're having a baby and you're like, it's fucked.
You got like 10 good years. We'll try to see one summer.
Can't
and then
wait to meet your little bundle of joy.
Summer.
Just good luck. Make sure your kids are influencers, and it doesn't matter if they go to college.
Thank you. Charlie and I are working on our kids' YouTube accounts as we speak.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, we have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Thanks to our panel, Zubin Parang, Beth Newell, and Justin Tyler. You guys have been a great audience. We'll be back on April 24th at 7:30 right here at the UCB Theater Hell's Kitchen. Check out the podcast, and in the meantime, don't forget
to vote
in midterm
elections.
Good night, everybody. Woo-hoo. Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends.
couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you two beers in.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.